Okay, we're in Perek Dalet in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. In the Perek Dalet, the Rambam is going to deal with issues of ownership of Chametz. As we know, there are two Yisurim in the Torah, Lo Yerov, Lo Yematzah, which is that you can't see, nor can Chametz be found in your property. So now the Rambam is going to discuss, basically, what exactly the limitations of ownership, transferring ownership to a non-Jew. And at the end of the Perek, he deals with what's considered a substance of chametz that you'd be over the iser of bal yerov bal yematzah if you still owned. So in Halacha Aleph, he says, Kasav Torah lo yer elecha chametz. So you can't see it, or it can't be seen for you. So what does that mean? So yachol im tamon oso, o hifkid oso b'yad goyim. So now there's two ways a person can, so to speak, try to avoid this. One is hide it, bury it in the ground. Or the other one is to give it over to, what do you call it, a non-Jew. Let the non-Jew control it. Lo yeh over. So what person would think? He's not over the Esther. Tamalomar se'or lo yimotze b'vatechem. Afil hitzmino o hifkido. So the Torah says, no, lo yimotze means it can't be found. So even if I lent it over to a non-Jew to keep an eye on, or if I buried it, I would still be over the Esther, one way or the other. So bayir b'yimotze are connected in that way. On the other hand, yachol lo yeh over elim ken haya chametz abeso. So maybe a person will say that I'm only over the iser if the chametz is in my house. Avim ayar rochok abeso besado biracheres. But let's say I transported my chametz to a different city. Lo yeh over. So I'll say, listen, I'm not over the prohibition. Tamo lomar bechol gvulcha bechol rishusacha. So it means it can't be in your gvul, which means your rishus, your ownership. So you can't have bilus. You can't have ownership over the chametz. Yochol yehei chayev levar amir shuzo chametz shel goy or shel hekdesh. Ah, but what's the extreme end of this? Right? So the Rambam explains, maybe you'll think that I have to burn chametz that even belongs to a non-Jew, if it's in my domain. Or hekdesh. Tamal omar lo yireh lecha shel cha yatzaro aval Torah shel achirim v'shel gavoah. So that's the limitation of the iser, meaning that if the chametz doesn't belong to you, if it belongs to a non-Jew, or if it's hekdesh, which means, so to speak, it belongs to God, so then you will not be violating these prohibitions by having the chametz in your rishus. So that's the farthest you can go with the iser of bayirah by matzah. So the Halacha Beis explains halamanata shechametz shal Yisrael. So we learn from this that chametz that belongs to a Jew im hinicho birshuso afilu tamon vafilu biracheres vafilu mufkar biad goyim hareza over mishum lo yiroy v'lo matzah. So like he just said in Halach Aleph, what do we learn out? We see that if I store chametz in my house, even if I buried it in the ground, okay, or I gave it for a non-Jew to keep an eye on, I'm over these Yisurim. Excuse me. The chametz shel hekdesh shel goy shehaya eitzel Yisrael. But let's say if it was hekdesh chametz or chametz that belonged to a non-Jew that's by a Jew, afilo ha'im ha'bayis there is a mutter meishen shelo. So I can store the chametz of my friendly non-Jew, my non-Jews. Chametz in my house for as long during Pesach, it's not a problem whatsoever. So vafilu hayeshel ger toshav shiyad Yisrael shalotes olav. Even if it's a ger toshav where the Jewish people have control over them, so to speak, ain kofen asol lahotzi chametz rishus v'pesach. So you don't force him to remove the chametz from his rishus on Pesach. Avol tzarich lasos mechitza gavoa asarat fachim bifnei chimso shel goy shema yavol istakim emenu. So what do you need to do though? The only qualification is, you must build some type of partition. We've seen this before. We've seen a mechitza gavoah, for example, by around the Sefer Torah, if it's in your bedroom. So this creates a partition between you and the chametz. Why? Because you want to make sure that you don't end up using the chametz. So by putting a mechitza around that chametz, you're making sure that you won't use the non-Jew's chametz. Aval shel hekdesh, right? But let's say the chametz is set aside for use in the Beis HaMikdash. Ein otzarach. You don't need a mechitza. Why? So we saw this also before. So everybody knows, no one would ever mess with hekdesh, because you know if you eat the hekdesh, or you make use of it, you're over the iser of me'ilah, which is a very, very, it's a form of stealing, but you're stealing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And no one in their right mind would ever mess with something like that. So whereas with the chametz that belongs to a non-Jew, you have to create a partition around it. Chametz that it belongs to God, so to speak, you don't have to build a partition around that. Okay, Halacha Gimel. Now, Goy Shehefkid Chimso Eitzel Yisrael. Now, let's say the opposite takes place. Let's say the non-Jew comes over and says, listen, Ginsburg, can you keep an eye on my chametz over Pesach? In Kibbol of Yisrael Achrayas She'im Avad O Nignav Yisham Lo Damav. So now the whole question is, what's the nature of this watching over the chametz or being entrusted with the chametz? If the Jew says, if I say, I'm taking responsibility that if this chametz gets lost or stolen, I will pay you. Then I have to destroy this chametz on Pesach. Because once I take responsibility, financial responsibility for the chametz, it becomes as if it's in my possession. However, but if I did not accept achrayas on it, then it's permitted for me to keep it in my rishus. And I can eat it after Pesach because it belonged to the non-Jew all along, and it's not a problem whatsoever. Okay, Alacha Dalad. All right, Goy Anos Shehifkid Chimso Eitzel Yisrael. Now, let's say a non-Jew, let's say we're living in very troubled times, a non-Jew forces the Jew to keep an eye on his chametz, okay? Im Yodea Yisraelish Im Avad or Nigna Mechayv Lashamo V'Kofao V'Onso Lashalim Af Apish Lo Kiba Lachrayas Arayz Echay Levaro. So this is a very difficult Alacha, but let's say the Jew knows that if he loses the chametz, for example, that the non-Jew will force him to pay, even though the Jew didn't actually take on responsibility willingly, right? But he's being coerced to pay. He's chayv to destroy it. So it's considered like it's his, because even though he's not willingly accepting responsibility, even being forced to accept responsibility is considered responsibility, and therefore he must destroy that chametz before Pesach begins. Of course, the consequences might be serious, so that's a separate question of if it's an issue of sakanas nefashos. Okay, halacha hey, Yisrael shehirhin chimso eitzel hagoy. So let's say a Jew gives his chametz to a goy as, let's say, security for a loan he wants to take. So im amar lo im lo hevesi lecha maos mikan vad yom ploni kenei chametz zeme achshav. So let's say he says to him, if I don't bring you the money that I owe you between now and some date in the future, the chametz automatically becomes yours. Hareza v'rshus goy. It's considered as if the goy now owns it. The osa chametz mutal achar Pesach, and I can enjoy this chametz after Pesach is over. V'hu shia oso zman shekavolo kodem Pesach. As long as that date of the maturing of the loan was specified prior to Pesach. Vim lo amar lo, right, k'nei me'achshav. But let's say he didn't say that. Let's say he didn't say that you would you're going to acquire the chametz from now. Nimso oso chametz giluhu pikadon eitz lagoy. Then the chametz becomes like collateral that is in the hands of the goy. V'asur baniel achar Pesach, and therefore it will be the chametz shavala Pesach iser would apply, and I would not be able to benefit from the chametz in that situation. So halacha vav Yisrael v'goy shahayu boyim besvina. Okay, so you have a Jew and a non-Jew that are traveling together on a ship. Via chametz biyad Yisrael, and the Jew notices he has a bag of pretzels in his bag. The Yigia Shah Hamishas, and now the fifth hour has come. Harezem mochro lagoy. So what should he do? He should either sell it to the non-Jew, or nos no lov matana. This is critical, because I know the question about mechiras chametz is lurking in people's minds. The Rambam explains that you can give it to him as a matana, as a gift. V'chozer v'lochoy men achar Pesach, and I can go and take it back from him after Pesach. Uvavad sheet nenelo matana gemura, and that's the key. It must be a real present. It can't be harama. This is an area where harama would not work. So as long as it's clear that he's giving it to the non-Jew, no strings attached, it'd be permitted for him to do that, and he could benefit. And he could. And if the goy chooses to give him the chametz back after Pesach, gezunt ahed. Halacha zayin. Omer hu yisrael the goy ad she'ata lokeach b'mana bo v'kach b'masayim. So let's say the Jew says to the, a Jew's allowed to tell a non-Jew that rather than, buy $100 worth of chametz, come buy $200 worth of chametz. Rather than buy chametz from the non-Jew, go buy it from the Jew, right? Shema etzrach ekach mimcha achar Pesach. Because maybe I'll need this chametz and buy it from you after Pesach is over. Aval lo yimkor lo, lo yitan lo al tanai. So he can do the first one, but he can never sell it to the non-Jew on condition. That's the key. He can never say, I'm selling to you on condition that like, you give it back to me. And if he does this, he's over by Rabbi Matzah. So that's the key. You have to be very careful in selling chametz to a goy. It can't just be like a fake transaction. It has to be legit for it, or else you're over the Isra by Rabbi Matzah. And that's one of the reasons why people are careful about Mechiras Chametz, or should be careful, because you're dealing with an Isra D'Oraisa. If it's not done properly, you're over an Isra, two Isra D'Oraisa. So you have to be very careful about it. Okay, now moving into substances. Halacha Ches, Tarovus Chametz. So let's say I have a mixture of chametz over an aleh mishum bayim v'aleh matzah. So I'm also over these yisurim. So if I have in my house gon hamuris v'kuta chabal v'sheicher amidai. So let's say I have what they call beer, whatever it might be, in my house she'osu nesom in the kemach. If I have those, I'm also over the isra bayir v'aleh matzah. V'chein kol chiyotze ve'elim midvar menecholim. Aval davar sheish v'tarovus chametz v'ein eroy la'achila harizim murta l'kaima v'pesach. And this is another very challenging area. So if I have a mixture of chametz and it's not roy la'achila. Okay, it's not roi l'achila. It is permitted for me to go ahead and keep it on Pesach. Of course, the question becomes, what exactly is eino roi l'achila? This is there are thousands upon thousands of pages of stuff written about this, and it can get kind of weird. But let's see how the Rambam has it. He says, halacha test, ketzad, arivas ha'avdanin shenasan socha kemach. So they had these troughs that these tanners would use, okay? And what they would do is, shenasan socha kemach, they put flour inside, ve'oros, and the hides as well. We briefly touched on this a while back in Shilcha Shabbos, but what happens is when they tan hides, so they put flour down, and then they put the hides on top of it. So, afilu nasnu sha'achas kodem sha'asabir, harezim murta l'kaimo. So even if this was put down, if the kamach was put down 1 hour prior to the time of Masjid Shrei Chametz, it's murta for me to keep it on Pesach. Vimlo nasan ha oros v'nasan hakemach, but if the oros were not put in, the hides were not put in, but the kemach was, kodem shlosos yomim l'shas habir, mutar l'kaimo shrein nifsa v'hivish. So this flour, it was put there 3 days prior to the chi of destroying chametz comes to existence, then I can keep it over Pesach because we consider it that it's become spoiled. Tok shlosos yomim chay levar, but if it's within 3 days, then I'd be chayiv to destroy this kemach. Okay, halacha yud, v'chein akilor, v'haratia, v'haspalonis. So these are medicinal things, like things for your eye, a compress, or what it called, or plaster, v'hatriak, which also is not medicine, shenasan l'silchan chametz, mutar l'kaima in Pesach, shenifsedat tzuros chametz. That's another important one. It's mutar for me to keep this stuff on Pesach. Why? Because the tzura, the form, or the form of the chametz has been destroyed. So that's another factor insofar as when chametz is mutar to keep on Pesach, when the form of it has been destroyed. Halach Yud Aleph, hapas atzma, okay, this is another important one, she'ifsha v'nifsala melechol akelev. All right, so now you have bread which became moldy, okay, and now a dog wouldn't even eat the bread, okay, umilugma she'nitzucha einot tzarech levar, right, or let's say a compress has become spoiled, I don't have to even destroy that, okay, it's not considered chametz anymore. Let's say I wash clothes in what we would call starch, okay, but obviously a grain-based starch. Or papers that chametz was stuck together with chametz on them. So these are all mutter to keep on Pesach because we say again the form of chametz is not present in these objects. So this again is the limitation of what's considered chametz and what's not. And finally, lachi yibayz a davar shenis arvo chametz v'no machal dam klal, something that is mixed up with chametz, but it's not. No one would ever eat it. O she'no machal kol adam. All right, I could go on at triach kiyotzebo. Afi shemutter lekaimo asur lo'achlo ad achar Pesach. Right, so even though I'm allowed to keep these things, I shouldn't eat them until Pesach is over. So even though it contains only the smallest amount of possible chametz, it's still usher to go ahead and eat it. So that's halacha yud beis. Okay, Perek Hey. Now the Rambam takes up insofar as he's out of Bayra by Matzah, now he wants to know what chametz is, meaning what's defined as intrinsic chametz and what is considered not to be chametz as far as Pesach is concerned. So Halacha Aleph, he says, in Isra Mishum Chametz Pesach El Chameshes Mini Dagon Bavan. So I'm not going to get into the academic issue about what the five grains are. but the prohibition of chametz on Pesach is limited to the five grains. What are they? V'hem shnei minei chitim, shehein achita v'akusemes. So these are wheat and rye, u'shloshes minei seorim, and three types of barley, shehein ha-seora v'shibula shoa v'ashifon, which we translate to be barley, oats, and spelt. And again, that's up for debate. Aval kitnios could go in orez v'dochen u'pulim v'dashem, but kitnios, don't get too excited yet, kitnios like rice and beans and stuff of that nature, ein behem mishum chametz, there's no idea chametz whatsoever by them. Ela filu lush kemach orez uchiyotzebo beroschen. Even if I took rice flour and I mixed it up, kneaded it together, and I made dough out of it, okay, it doesn't matter. It's not a problem. Vichisal bevagadim achin nistapeach kmo batzek shehechmitz, and I covered up with clothing to the point where I'm encouraging it to rise, and it rises just like dough. It's mutar. It's a mutar b'achila she'ein zechimutz ela sirchon. Because this is not considered chimutz, rather it's considered some type of breakdown of the actual flour itself. So rice, beans, all kitnios are 100% mutter on Pesach. Halacha beis, chameshes minei dagon, elu, right? So these five grains, im loshan b'mei peiros b'vad. So if I went ahead and, let's say, kneaded my grain with orange juice, right, below shum mayim la'olam, einam bala de chimutz. So as long as there's no water involved, these things will never ferment. Ela fila hinichan kol yom, achin nisapeach, habatzek reza mutter b'achila. Even if I left the flour mixed up with these juices all day long and it rose as a result of that, it's still mutter to eat it. She'ein meperos machmitzin ela masrichin. Because again, the principle is fruit juice does not cause fermentation, rather it just causes a breakdown of the flour. Umei peros hein could go yain v'chol v'dvash v'zayis mei tapuchim mei rimonim v'chol chiyotz mehem mishar yenos u'shmanim u'mashkim. So what are examples of mei peros? Mei peros aren't just fruit juice. It's a larger category which includes milk, wine, honey, olive oil, apple juice, pomegranate juice, all the types of wines and oils, etc. Would not be a problem to mix with flour. V'hu shalo yisar behen shum mayim b'olam, but you can't add water. Then this arben mayim kol shorelu hare elu machmitzin. But once one drop of water gets into this mixture, then the concern of fermenting comes into the picture, and now it becomes usher to use. Halacha gimel aim avashlan chitim b'mayim. So I'm not supposed to take a wheat and cook it in water. It could go in rifos, right? V'lo kemach, and I can't I can't cook flour in water. It could go in levivos. So I shouldn't cook wheat kernels or flour in water. Vim bishal reza chametz gomer v'hu she's baku b'tavshil. So in these cases, if I go ahead and do it, then I have to maintain that the wheat kernels, for example, are chametz gomer. As long as how do I know for sure, so to speak? Because the chitim will crack open inside the dish. Ein kolon es habatzek b'shemen al machavas. So I'm not allowed to go ahead and fry dough on a stovetop in oil. Aval mavashin es hapas es kemach hakolui. But what I am allowed to do is I'm allowed to cook cook in water matzah, okay? That I'd be allowed to do. V'im hir siach hamayim harbe. But let's say I went ahead and, and boiled a lot of water. V'achrach hishle chusok on a kemach. And then I threw in kemach flour into a pot of boiling hot water. Harez mutter. That's mutter. Neshihu misbashal miyad kodem shiachmetz. Because what happens? It cooks before it ferments. So by cooking first, as far as the Rambam is concerned, it arrests the fermentation process. Ugvar nagu b'shinar v'sfarav v'chol marav. Basically, the Rambam holds it's like a minag olam, a less or davar zed, that you shouldn't do this. Gzir Hashem alu yarsiach hamayim yafe yafe. The concern is that there's a fine line between hot water and boiling water, and if a person doesn't boil well enough, it can lead to a serious problem of forming chametz gomer. Okay, and that's an important one to keep in mind. Halacha dalet, mutter levashal hadagan or kemach b'mei peros. I can cook wheat, I can cook grain or flour in fruit juice. Mechein batzek shalashu b'mei peros, as well dough that was soaked in, kneaded in fruit juice. Im bashlu b'mei peros, o kolo al machavas b'shemen, hareza mutter sh'mei peros yen machmitzin. So all the things you said in Halacha Gimel, I could do those things with a dough made out of mei peros. I can even, for example, put it in a frying pan and fry it up with oil. That would be permitted to do on Pesach. Okay, Carmel Shemahavin Oso Ba'or. One second. So if I'm roasting grain, and that roasted grain is burnt a bit by the fire, V'tochnen Oso, and I go ahead and grind it, Eim Evashen Es HaKemach Shelo B'mayim, then I can't cook that type of flour in water, Shemelo Nikla Ba'or Yafe, because it's possible it wasn't roasted really well over the fire, V'nimsa Machmes Kem Evashen Oso, and then what's going to happen is it could ferment in cooking. V'chein Kishemolen HaKderos HaKadoshos, let's say I'm preparing what they call pots to be used. Let's say I want to use them on Pesach. Eim avashem hen elamatza afuya shechazu v'tachnu osa. So this is to condition the pot. I can't cook in it only matzah that was baked and let's say ground down. That I could do about kemach kali osur. But if it comes to roasted flour, I can't use that shemelo kalo yafev yavdali chimutz. I can't use it because maybe I didn't roast it well and it will come to go ahead and ferment. Okay. Speaking of Korban Mincha, I think is why I just thought of that. Ein bolin, okay? Belila is actually a term used by Korban Mincha. It refers to mixing up in a certain way. Here it's stirring up. So ein bolin as a sa'orim b'mayim b'pesach. So now this is a special halacha. I can't stir barley in water on Pesach. Meishahein roughen u'machmitzen b'mehera. So what happens is the kernels of barley are very, very soft, and fermentation happens very, very quickly. They're hypersensitive to fermentation. And if I did do this, okay, and I stirred them up to the point when if I would go ahead and leave the kernels on a fire, or I heated them up, they'd burst open, okay? Hare elu asurin. These are usher to use. Vim loik yu lirifion zeh. Hare zeh elu. If it didn't get to this point, then it's permitted. We don't really deal much with barley, but it's important to keep that in mind when it comes to Pesach. Halacha zayim, hachitim. Okay, when it comes to wheat, mutar levlol some of mine. I can mix up wheat kernels in water, kedei lahasir suvan, for example, to remove the bran. V'tochnen osan miyad kedei shetochnen asos. And I can grind it up to flour right afterwards as well. So mipi halacha, there's nothing wrong with going through the steps of making flour out of wheat. However, ugvar nogu kol yisrael b'shinar v'eretz tzvi uvesvarad uvari hamarav shelo yuvalu achitim amayim gzira shema yisrael v'yachmitzu. But of course, the minhag became that we don't do this. The concern is that you're going to have some leftover, and that's going to go ahead and ferment on Pesach, and then you have all sorts of other problems emerging from that. Halacha ches tavshel shenis bashel v'nim subos orim ochitim. Okay, so let's say I cook a dish and I find inside the dish barley or wheat, okay? In this baku, so if it's cracked open, I call tafshel aser, shenis arbo chametz. The entire mixture now, the entire dish that I put that in is now aser, because I can assume the chametz is mixed up into it in its entirety. Then notice baku, but let's say it didn't break open, motzi and osan, I could take them out, v'sorfen osan v'oklin shara tafshel, and then I'll burn them and I can eat the rest of the tafshel. Sheina dagon shenivlal, onis basho, the lonis bakea, chametz gomer, shel Torah. Because midaraisa, if grain that was mixed and cooked, but did not crack, the shells didn't crack open yet, husks didn't crack open, that's not considered chametz gomer from the Torah. Veinelam edivri sofrim, it's only an isser darbana. Mishum shenem, maru shwatem es amatzos, kolomar, hisharu bimatza, vishamru osami kol tzad chimutz. So darbana came along and created this extra layer to say that you should be careful. Therefore, they created extra prohibitions for things that even are, related to chametz in this manner.